Saturday, August 2nd. Commemoration of St. Alphonsus Liguori. The Epistle from the Second Letter of St. Paul to Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Dearly beloved, be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus, and the things which thou hast heard of me before many witnesses. The same commend to faithful men, who shall be fit to teach others also. Labor as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No man being a soldier to God entangleth himself with worldly business, that he may please him to whom he hath engaged himself. For he also that striveth for the mastery is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must first partake of the fruits. Understand what I say, for the Lord will give thee understanding in all things. Haydock Commentary. The grace which is in Christ Jesus means the grace which is in thee by Christ Jesus. Things which thou hast heard of me before many witnesses. Some expound this, meaning in the presence of many witnesses. Others, of the witnesses and testimonies which St. Paul had brought out of the Scriptures when he instructed Timothy. St. Paul brings here three comparisons, one of a soldier, two of one that strives and runs for a prize, and three of a husbandman. The husbandman who laboreth must first partake. The sense may either be that it is fitting for the husbandman to partake first and before others of the fruits of his labors, or that he must first labor and then partake. The Gospel from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 9. At that time, the Lord appointed also other 72, and he sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself was to come. And he said to them, "The harvest indeed is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he send laborers into his harvest. Go, behold, I send you as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. Into whatsoever house you enter, first say, Peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon him. But if not, it shall return to you. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they have, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Remove not from house to house, and into what city soever you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein. And say to them, The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you." From the Great Commentary of Cornelius a Lapide. As Moses at the beginning of his leadership chose elders or princes for the 12 tribes of Israel, and afterwards by reason of the increase of the people and of the cares of government, made a further choice of 6 from each tribe, so Christ ordained that each tribe should have its apostle, and 6 presbyters or elders, for such were these disciples, who were commanded to go throughout all Judea, preaching that the kingdom of God and of Christ was nigh, and confirming their preaching by miracles, that so the work of the apostles might be furthered and spread. The 72 disciples, says Bede, answer to the 72 nations of the world, as if Christ had appointed to each nation its own disciple or teacher. For St. Augustine, St. Jerome, and others hold that after the confusion of tongues at Babel, mankind was divided into 72 nations and languages. It is clear here that there was distinction and difference in the degrees and duties of the priests, for these disciples were not equal in dignity to the apostles. Indeed, Matthias, who was, according to Clement of Alexandria, one of their number, was chosen from them to the apostolate. Hence the fathers teach that the bishops are the successors of the apostles, and the priests of the 72 disciples. Although in the early days of the church, says Bede, both the one and the other were called presbyters or bishops, in the one case to signify the ripeness of their wisdom, in the other case their zeal in the pastoral office. Symbolically, St. Augustine says, "As in 24 hours the whole world moves round the sun and receives light, so is the world enlightened by Christ through the gospel of the Trinity, which was preached at his command by the 72 disciples, for 3 times 24 makes 72. He sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come, that is, into Judea, as he had before sent the 12 apostles into Galilee. Jesus wished to make himself known to the Jews as the Messiah, and to offer them salvation through faith in him. Therefore, as he was himself unable to go throughout their towns and cities, because the time of his departure was now nigh at hand, he chose the 72 to go before him and heal the sick, that the minds of his countrymen might be prepared to acknowledge him as the Christ, and to receive at his hands pardon and forgiveness. But he kept the 12 apostles with him, to witness to his life, and that they might also assist him in ministering to the necessities of those who waited on his teaching, and learn how in their turn they should labor for the conversion of the world. They went two by two for several reasons: that the one might aid and support the other, and that if one were weary or from any cause unable to carry on the work, the other might take his place. Again, that one may always have in the other a witness to his life and an advisor and guide. Experience teaches us that they who are associated together two by two rarely or never are tempted to sins of impurity, but that those who are alone lay themselves open to accusations of evil, even if they have not actually fallen away. Hence, St. Thomas was wont to say, "A monk away from his brethren is an act of evil." St. Augustine says, "When you are in a church or wheresoever there are women, let each protect the other's modesty." Even Seneca says, "Solitude tempts us to every evil," and adds, "Without doubt it is profitable to place a guard over thyself so as to have someone to look to, someone to be acquainted with thy very thoughts." Most sins would be avoided if a man had a witness beside him when he was about to sin. St. Thomas of Canterbury, a man of great sanctity and wisdom, says, "I who have been for 30 years a bishop know how true is the saying, 'Woe to him that is alone.' For I have frequently heard of fearful dangers and fearful scandals having befallen those who either in public or private affect a solitary life, evils into which they would not have fallen had they not shunned the companionship of their fellow men." They also went two by two that their preaching might be more powerful to persuade. "At the mouth of two or three witnesses shall the matter be established," Deuteronomy 19:15. We find Christ and his apostles constantly acting on this rule. For Christ sent two of his disciples, Peter and John, to loose the ass and to prepare the Passover. After the resurrection, Clopas and a companion went to Emmaus. In like manner, we find Peter and John often associated together. They both run to the sepulchre, they go up together to pray at the ninth hour, and both are sent to Samaria by the apostles. St. Gregory says, "The Lord sent his disciples two by two to preach, because the precepts of charity are two, the love of God and the love of our neighbor, and charity cannot exist without at least two, and thereby he silently suggests to us that he who has not love to another ought not to undertake the office of preaching." Origen says, "It seems from the word of God to be an ancient custom that two should be associated in his service, for God led Israel out of Egypt by the hands of Moses and Aaron. Joshua and Caleb also united together to appease the people. So two by two the animals entered into the ark, unclean by natural generation, but cleansed by the sacrament of the church, by the spiritual grace attendant on the preaching of the disciples." St. Gregory says, "The Lord himself attends on his preachers, for the words of the preacher persuade men of the truth and make their hearts ready to be the abiding place of Christ." Hence Isaiah in chapter 40 verse 3 says, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight a highway for our God." And the psalmist, "Make a way for him who ascendeth upon the west, the Lord is his name." "I send you forth as lambs among wolves, that by your innocent and holy lives, through the power of my grace working in you, you may change the wolf into the lamb," that is, convert evil men from the error of their way. "Carry neither purse nor scrip, for the shepherd will supply both if needful. He commands them to look to him who sent them forth for the necessities of life." The preacher ought to have such trust in God that although unprovided with the expenses of his present life, he should be convinced that they will not fail him, lest whilst his mind is taken up with things temporal, he should be less mindful of things eternal. "The laborer is worthy of his hire." By hire we must understand not money or its equivalent, but food and nourishment, for the preaching of the kingdom of heaven is above price. Therefore it is clear that the apostles should live by the gospel, and that their hearers were bound by every law, natural and divine, to support them. They were forbidden then to carry either purse or scrip, because God put it into the hearts of those that attended on their teaching to provide for all their wants. St. Gregory says, "He who forbids us to carry scrip or purse ordains that we should live of the gospel, because it is fitting that we should receive earthly things from those to whom we offer heavenly rewards."